It's 29 minutes to 12, Alive 90.5 Spotlight, and Merry Christmas Pick and Mix. Lovely little jingle that they played for us there.
They did.
And Jim, time's flying as it always does.
It does, yeah, and I really want to get into our next part of our program, because I find this wonderful person extremely well educated, a great inspiration in what she has done in fulfilling her life. And I want to say on behalf of Spotlight, Maria Pock, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Darren.
Maria is a member of the Local Representation Advisor Committee, City of Parramatta, and has an amazing resume and CV of things. Tell us about your journey.
Thanks, Jim. So I grew up here locally and done preschool through to university here in Sydney, where I majored in mathematics. I've worked for some well-known Australian companies, such as an airline, a supermarket, a manufacturer of transportation and building products, a local and a global real estate company, and currently an Australian conglomerate. I've done advisory, as Jim says, for City of Parramatta, where I had the privilege of working with Lord Mayor Bob Dwyer and Keith Hamilton, who are also friends of Spotlight, I know. Mm-hmm. And I do some public speaking on innovation, and I write business and social commentary. I guess from a career perspective, my passion is to see how I can use my ability to contribute to improving the quality of life, because that is what gives me the most satisfaction.
Thank you for that lovely introduction. And I'm just going to go one question off script here a bit at the moment as well. You know, Jim and I and radio and things like that. You study mathematics.
Yes.
How does a passion for mathematics kind of come through your career? And if you kind of just give a brief overview of how that mass has driven you into all these wonderful facets that make you who you are today, Maria.
I've always loved mathematics, been crazy about it through preschool, well, primary school, high school, loved it. And traditionally people think mathematics leads to a career in teaching or academia perhaps, but what I've found is the discipline behind the thinking, the analytical thinking, the problem-solving ability is highly applicable to different contexts, not just in science, but in corporations, in business. It's that sort of ability, that abstraction and ability to cope with abstraction, that's applicable to many, many things.
And listeners, both my colleagues, Maria and Darren, are both have a very strong mathematical background, and it's really interesting what you're just saying, because when I look at your resume, it's pedigree. You know, looking at, and this is, I come from a finance background as well, I look at things like, as you've mentioned, that you've been involved in your roles, yield management, revenue forecasting, demand modelling, business development. So all of that lays on a platform of numbers.
That's correct. That's right. So firstly, having a passion for numbers means I don't have a fear of it, because many feel that, oh, it's something to be scared of, but that's not the case at all. Just dive in, enjoy it, play with it, and see what the numbers tell.
Sounds like radio.
It does. But Maria, that's why I have a love that I think, and this is a statement and this is for another time, I think students at school should be taught mathematics, because it's not understanding Pythagoras' theorem, it's the analysis and the skill development that goes behind the thinking of that complexity. And I'm really saddened when that's taken away, because everything we do, how far is this away? How much does that cost? It's all about numbers. You know, how what's my blood pressure like? What's this like? What does this? And it tells a story. And I'd like to talk about that at a later date. Just going further, your highlights of Parramatta City. Tell us about that, because it's an incredible story.
Yes. So I was part of the local representative advisory committee, and this role involved operational and strategic plan review. I must say that the council and the government goes to such tremendous lengths to consult the community, and we try every way to improve the quality of life through cultural recognition, schools, sports, recreation, parking, citizenship, swimming pools, parks, facilities. I mean, everything that we enjoy today have been a long time in the making, I must say, and there's tremendous effort and resource put into each of those, with a lot of thought and effort behind the scenes.
That's amazing. Yeah. That yes. So much happens within the city Parramatta. Sorry, cat's got my tongue this morning. And I know, as you said before, Lord Mayor Bob Dwyer and others in Parramatta have been on Spotlight and good friends of Spotlight as well. And just thinking about the city of Parramatta, but also your career in... what are the interesting highlights that you can share with listeners about Maria and her time locally, but also globally across your career?
Locally
I'm thinking
and globally.
The airline as well.
Okay, all right. Well, starting with City of Parramatta, I must say the highlight for me was going to schools in Western Sydney where I presented students with awards for their achievements. Because I've always been fascinated by people's childhood and upbringing and what makes a person who they are. So it was absolutely inspiring to see the talent and optimism and energy of our young Australians. That for me was the highlight. I think working at the airline, I think this is always good dinner party conversation. Everybody loves to hear about my time at the airline. There were some fun highlights and some very challenging highlights. So I started off in a department called Yield Management. And this department makes critical commercial decisions such as how many discounts we release on a flight and how far would we overbook an aircraft by. Mm. And later on, I had the role of team leader for the global alliance that this airline is actually still a part of. The objective there was to work together with other international carriers to see how we could maximise our buying power. So by that I mean similar to what we all do when we go to the supermarket. When we buy bigger pack sizes, we get better prices. So in the context of the airline, what we did was we converged on a specification. So, and I brought some of my products here to show you today. We did that for the amenities kits and the towels that we use in first and business class, and we combined our volumes. We took this to a global tender, that is, we went assessing suitable suppliers right around the world. And as if that wasn't complex enough, we took it to a reverse auction, that is, like a auction for a house, except the suppliers bid lower and lower, and the lowest bidder actually wins the job.
And that's a really, that's an interesting concept with regards. They've done that in real estate and a whole range of different things, this reverse auction model. It's a very interesting. I want to hear more of this.
Yes. And
yeah, I was just going to say, Maria, one question without notice, if I may, and you can decline to answer this because you might have been out of the airline industry for a bit. But with airline, you're saying the bigger packages and you get the bigger discounts in the supermarket, and in the airline, up until recently, we saw the bigger jumbos and the bigger Airbuses brought in the bigger profits, so to say. But now, COVID, but even before COVID, there was a reversal of smaller, more nimble, like the 737 MAX and things like that. So what are your thoughts of that model? Can too big be too much for anyone to sell?
As with anything, Darren, there is never a one-size-fits-all formula that applies to everything. So it's situational. We need to read the environment and see what is suitable for the times and the economic conditions. So very generally speaking, bigger pack sizes, greater volume means buying power, but we have to tweak it. We have to be flexible and adaptable, as with any success. And I might add that the Alliance program that I ran resulted in $20 million in savings for the Alliance partners, which I still look back on and I smile.
Mm. Oh, I don't blame you.
It's fantastic savings.
That is absolutely amazing. I hope they gave you a free trip around the world.
I'm not sure about that, but there were some fun highlights. We can almost play truth or dare with that. So truth or dare, I've done some flight attendant training. What do you think?
I say
yes,
truth.
Yeah. Okay, yes, you're spot on. I have done some flight attendant training indeed. And what this means is that when I fly, I hope no one keeps me on the queue for a toilet, because I know how to unlock the toilet doors from the outside.
Wonderful.
Well, truth or dare as well.
Have you been in the flight simulator?
No, I haven't, actually.
Maybe we can arrange that. I don't know if we can arrange that. But, interesting that you talk about that training to be able to look at the customers as well. Talking about customers, and just before we go to a break have a song, can you fast forward a little bit from the airline and take us, you've always led us there a little bit about the supermarket.
Yes.
And how your numerical analysis, those sort of analysis within a supermarket can also save, and did they save $20 million as well?
I don't have similar figures to share with you, but I really wanted to share this story about the supermarket. So when I was working there, I was part of the new product development team, and we worked with manufacturers to create food items such as cookies and biscuits and chips and savoury snacks, and also some non-food household items. Now, I'm sure that we have some listeners at home who, like me, love reading gourmet foodie lifestyle magazines. We all dream of the taste testing, the test kitchens, the recipe development, the food photography. Well, I can tell you, all of those things we read about in the magazines are real. These steps actually take place. And if we can imagine, for instance, our favourite perfume or fragrance or flavour, really there's actually a blueprint or formula behind each of these, which we take inspiration from. We combine with our research into customer preferences and trends, and we use this to evolve our product offering at suitable price points and certain quality standards. So that was our way, Darren, of owning the relationship with the customer.
That's wonderful. As always,
I think we might go to a quick break because I want to find out more. So we've got things and a whole range of things we've got to do, but it's been fantastic, Maria. Your story is incredible, what you've achieved.
Thank you very much, Jim.
And
my
coming
pleasure.
Up on Alive 9.5 Spotlight, we have the Supremes. You Keep Me Hanging On.
Alive 90.5.
It's 13 minutes to 12. Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim
and we
Barron.
Better get with our next guest because time is running out and it's got a great story. Maria Bock, you're an amazing person. You started off in the world of quantification or in quantity and maths and all of those things in a commercial business world. Your life has changed in the sense that you've taken another journey with the development of yourself. And I'm really interested in that because we do talk about right and left brain. You're now have been for some time working on developing that left part of your brain. Do you want to tell our listeners about what that means and where this story's going?
Yes, thanks, Jim. So I have tried very hard to keep evolving as a person and as an individual as well to see what I can keep contributing. And I soon discovered, having talked about my passion for maths, there are limitations with numbers and that disciplined sort of left brain thinking. In the right-hand side of the brain, that ability to write, to express, to read each other's expressions, to communicate, are also vital to our success in life and as well as in the workplace. And I actually got into writing quite some years ago now when I was working at the supermarket. I entered an industry-wide essay writing and public speaking competition called the Joe Berry Awards. And I used the prize money that I won on an international study tour, which took me to San Francisco, Dallas, New York, London, Macau, and Hong Kong to see the very best of innovation in business right around the world. And I must say the photos that I took and the things we learnt and saw were absolutely mesmerising and unforgettable. But the highlight for me, the single highlight, was actually the chance to meet some brilliant people, and some of whom I still keep in touch with, and they continue to inspire me to this day. So from that experience, my publisher invited me to write two books on Australia's retail outlook, and the Australian Financial Review actually interviewed me on Australia's economy, because retail is such a good barometer of how the economy is performing. And from there, I've continued to write some business and social commentary. And I guess here I am today.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. Now, you've had time to develop those writing skills professionally and personally. Where is your journey going in that world? You know, are you still focused on retail, or has that become splintered and looking at other areas of in the world of business and life?
To answer that question, Jim, I'll probably touch on a point which I'll cover later on, and that is I've diversified. I've tried to cover other facets, but underlying all of that is a love for the themes that I believe in as a person, and that is the themes of fairness, truth, honesty, and culture. And I like to shine a light on subjects which often people feel uncomfortable articulating, because really, that is what drives me to write. And by culture, I mean are the shared assumptions, values and beliefs which characterise a group of people and drive their behaviours. And I'm a firm believer that our culture and our ability to adapt have major roles to play in our current COVID recovery and beyond. And in fact, when we look back on this, it'll be a really interesting story to tell. And this is one of the marvellous things about radio, I must say. It gives us a chance to share our stories, because storytelling really is what brings us together as people.
You have expressed that so well, in the sense I was just listening to every word you were saying about you as a person and what you're developing and who you're developing with you. I just want to share that with you at the moment. I was really impressed with the way your sincerity in what you're trying to do as a person. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Thank
I agree.
You.
It's really honest to hear from yourself, Maria, your journey and how you're progressing from that very analytical to now very creative, even socially orientated type career. And just on that theme, now you can write, now you do write. What inspires you to write, or how do you inspire yourself to sit down and say, write 1,000 words?
My love for those themes usually are the starting points, because I feel it in my heart, and every piece of writing comes not just from the brain but from the heart, something that I feel within. And it could be a life experience that inspires me. And also there are things that I've learnt that I'd like to share. For example, the work that I've done in innovation. I mean, there's perception that innovation is what the government does or corporations invest in, that it's robotics or major large-scale investment in IT. But really, underlying innovation are some basic concepts that we can all apply to our own lives. For example, the need for being able to cope with ambiguity is one key one for innovation to take place. Also, a constant curiosity and love for learning. And learning isn't actually just academic study, but regardless of one's age or role in life, learning is something that we can maintain. If I can share, and I'm quite amused by this, I must say my father has recently become quite the expert on the US Electoral College, because he reads up about it every day and I get my daily update from him, which is quite impressive to see. And if he can do it, we can all do it, I'm sure. But also, innovation means that we need to be better at issue definition, that is, defining the problem that we have on our hands to solve. Because really, it's time for some new practices. I think our past habits and best practices as we used to know them have become way too old-fashioned, given the rapid rate of change and disruption in the world these days. And really, if I may share a tip with everyone, one tip, the best form of innovation is simplification. If we can find one thing in our lives to simplify, we're on our way to success.
Sounds like you know the KISS principle well. Keep it simple, stupid, as I like to say all the time as an engineer. We're just about out of time, but we know that you have some ideas of key themes around social and social commentary, and you've heard before we're talking about things that are important to the community. In 30 seconds, summarise those for us before we go out at the top of the hour.
My latest piece is called Why Pixie Land is Key to Diverse Australia, so please read it. Get a copy of it and read it. But if I may share one wish, and that is, we're in advance before Christmas, one wish for greater gratitude, empathy, kindness and understanding. I'd love to see more gratitude for the things that we have in our lives, in our community and in our world. There's bound to be something when we reflect on it.
Maria Pock, thank you for joining us today on Spotlight on 90.5. You have an incredible way that you present. You present very powerful and complex material in a very simple and meaningful way. We wish you and your family a wonderful Christmas, and we'd love to have you back in 21.
It's my pleasure. I'll be back. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. Merry Christmas.
Alive 90.5.